Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Cloudy skies today with rain showers and are high nearing 55. Northeast winds between 15 and 25 and gusting as high as 40. Rain and snow showers possible overnight tonight with a low around 35. North winds between 20 and 25 and gusting as high as 45. Rain and snow showers early on Friday, sunny with a high of 51. I'm forecaster Kara Foster. Currently it's 48 degrees.
Kansas Mid-America Network News. Jurors heard opening arguments Wednesday in the first-degree murder trial of Francisco Mendez. Mendez is charged with killing Washburn football player Dwayne Simmons. Assistant Shawnee County District Attorney Charles Kitt told jurors several witnesses picked out Mendez in police lineups and they found DNA evidence on items in a car. Many witnesses Wednesday testified on several aggravated robberies Mendez is charged with in the days before and after the April 2019 shooting. Mendez is charged with first-degree murder, four counts of attempted murder, and several counts of aggravated robbery. Testimony continues today. A wildfire in Elk County is still burning. Emergency crews said the windy and warm conditions fueled the fire, causing it to spread quickly across two counties. Marla Ware with Elk County Emergency Management said the fire started around 1 p.m. in Chautauqua County yesterday and then came into Elk County. I'm Trace Tall, Kansas, Mid-America Network News.
Kansans with disabilities and senior citizens are three times more likely to be crime victims. If you are a Kansas senior citizen or a Kansan with a disability and you are a crime victim, contact the Disability Rights Center of Kansas at 877-776-1541. We may be able to help you with your civil legal matter. Contact us at 877-776-1541 or drckansas.org. Once again, if you are a Kansas senior or a Kansan with a disability who is a crime victim, contact the Disability Rights Center of Kansas at 877-776-1541 or drckansas.org. We may be able to help you with your civil legal matter. The content of this radio ad is sponsored by the Disability Rights Center of Kansas and this station. It is supported by a VOCA grant awarded through the Federal Office for Victims of Crime as administered by the Kansas Governor's Grants Program. It does not necessarily reflect the views of the Office of the Kansas Governor or the U.S. Department of Justice.
The Shawnee County Sheriff's Office says Dwayne L. Gooch, 57, of Topeka, is in custody for possession of methamphetamine after a traffic stop near North Kansas Avenue and Northeast Norris Street early Wednesday morning. Just before 12:30 a.m., deputies said they stopped the white 2004 Porsche Cayenne in the area for driving with a defective headlight. Gooch was found to have a suspended driver's license and a warrant for his arrest out of the city of Topeka. During the investigation, deputies said they found drugs. Gooch was booked into the Shawnee County Department of Corrections. A Vassar man was taken into custody after an Osage County Sheriff's deputy reportedly found methamphetamine. A deputy for the Osage County Sheriff's Office conducted a traffic stop at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday morning in the 4700 block of West K31 Highway. They say the deputy then found illegal narcotics in the vehicle. Ronald D. White, 55, of Vassar, was taken into custody and transported to the Osage County Jail facility. I'm Trace Tall, Kansas, Mid-America Network News.
Come in from the cold and make the most of the winter evenings at home. Curl up and stream on. Sign up for Blue Valley Internet or upgrade your internet speed and get a Roku streaming stick 4K on us. Already have the speed you need? Call us to get a 20% discount on Roku streaming stick 4K for your household. Visit bluevalley.net today. Curl up and stream on.
Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News. An Omaha teen has been charged with manslaughter in the shooting death of his friend over the weekend. Douglas County Attorney Don Klein said he charged 18-year-old Blake Miller in the death of his friend, 18-year-old Tanner Farrell. Klein had previously said Farrell was killed Saturday night as a group of teens handled a rifle inside of a Southwest Omaha home. On Tuesday, Klein told the Omaha World-Herald that the group was in Miller's house when Miller pulled out his .22-caliber rifle and pointed it at Farrell. Klein said Miller pulled the trigger thinking it was unloaded and shot Farrell in the chest. Farrell died at an Omaha hospital. Governor Pete Ricketts made proclamation the sandhill crane as the state's migratory bird at Rose Sanctuary, about 20 miles southeast of Kearney on Wednesday. Ricketts says visitors from 60 counties flock with the birds to central Nebraska to witness the ancient ritual of the cranes, generating more than $25 million for the local economy. I'm Trace Tull, Nebraska Mid-America Network News.
All across the nation, we are here for our communities.
We're doing our part to get supplies where it's needed in order to fight COVID-19 together.
It feels good to be out there to assist our community.
I would like our friends and family to know that your National Guardsmen are always ready and always there.
Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Kansas Army National Guard. Aired by the Kansas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marysville City Council met Monday and heard from former council members Diane Schroller and Darlene Boss, who shared a list of ideas that could work to assist with homeowner improvements, improve blighted neighborhoods, and better the community. They noted current programs available, including sidewalk reimbursement and cost share for economic assistance through removal of blighted properties, noting the number of such applications that have been approved. Other ideas were pursuing grants that could fund doors, windows, paint, lumber, and landscaping, particularly for low-income and older residents. They mentioned the Community Reinvestment Act, which could prompt financial institutions locally to contribute. The pair also encouraged outreach regarding programs available and reminded of the process involved with city codes. Free landfill day and city pickup of larger items annually were suggested, and they asked that a committee perhaps be formed to pursue and address such issues and opportunities. Discussion on the matter continued later in the meeting with comments that city funding for private improvements may not be available, but that grant funding could be considered. Code enforcement and the challenge of getting repeat offenders to make changes were also brought up. City Council unanimously approved a community development block grant that would help fund a multi-million-dollar upgrade to the Marysville City Sewage Lagoon System. Options were considered for disposal of a current city sewer truck, which is being replaced with a new one. Consigning, selling, salvaging, or transitioning for use as a dump truck were among ideas presented. Consensus was to get cost estimates for changing out to a dump truck. Flooring options for the new fire station were considered. Council members questioned why the roughly $12,000 cost was not factored into the original bid specifications. Consensus was to gather more information and come back with revised estimates. Replacement options for bleachers at Feldhausen Field were presented, expected at some $27,000 to replace with aluminum. Going out for fundraising was also mentioned, noting the rec budget didn't currently have additional funding, with recent improvements including lights and fencing. No action was taken. Approval was given for the Kiwanis Club to use the city park for the annual Easter egg hunt Saturday afternoon, April 9th. As a reminder, vehicles need to be moved off downtown streets in Marysville Friday after midnight through 7 a.m. for street cleaning. Signs are posted for those affected areas. U.S. Highway 36 Association recognized county winners in a Best Pie contest, including the Empty Cup in Marysville for Marshall County, Hometown Cafe in Barnes for Washington County, and Alley's Cafe in Nemahal County. International Pie Day, March 14th, was the date chosen for the announcement, which includes selections in all 13 Kansas counties along U.S. Highway 36. A Topeka man, John Dedimore, is being held on $25,000 bond in the Washington County Jail on a local warrant for burglary of a vehicle times two, and theft times three. He was picked up from an Iowa detention facility last week. $2,500 bond has been set for Lyndon Carnes of Greenleaf, arrested last Friday on drug charges in Washington County. USD 380 Superintendent Matt Rogers passed away Wednesday after a nearly three-year battle with cancer. Services to be held this Saturday in Corning. Matt Rogers was scheduled to resign the end of this year due to health reasons at USD 380. Silver Lake native Travis DeSemiers has been selected superintendent for Nemahal Central, USD 115 at Seneca, and will take the place of Daryl Coleman, who has announced his retirement resignation end of his school year after a 32-year career in education, serving as USD Food 15 superintendent since 2010. Dissemires was among three candidates interviewed, along with Shane Clark, district-level coordinator with Southern Lyon County Schools, and Trevor Ashcraft, curriculum director with Vermilion USD 380. Dissemires has served as superintendent at Trigo County since 2018 and has teaching, coaching, and athletic director experience. Quarterly meeting and program from the Washington County Historical Society will be Thursday, March 17th, beginning at 7 p.m. at the Lynn Firehouse. Kaylee Carson will discuss the orphan train, which arrived in 1908 in Washington, and how the orphan train worked in Northeast Kansas. Program is open to the public Thursday evening, 7 p.m. at the Lynn Firehouse Community Meeting Room. William H. Bill Lohmeyer, age 80, of Greenleaf, passed away Sunday. Funeral service Friday, 10:30 at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Greenleaf. Burial in the church cemetery. Visitation Thursday, 3 until 8. Family will greet friends Thursday from 6 until 8 at the Ward Funeral Home of Lynn, in charge of arrangements for Bill Lohmeyer. Frank Huffman, age 85, of Marysville, passed away last March 20th. A public memorial service is planned this Saturday, March 19th, 10:30, at the United Methodist Church in Marysville, with Kinsley Mortuary in charge of arrangements for Frank Huffman. Justin L. Hilton, age 44, of Graniteville, California, passed away February 23rd. A graveside service is planned this Saturday, March 19th, at 10:30, at St. Michael's Catholic Cemetery at Kimio, with a Ward Funeral Home in charge of arrangements for Justin Hilton. Marvin L. Van Winkle, age 97, of Washington, passed away February 25th. Funeral service this Saturday, March 19th, at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Washington, with the Ward Funeral Home in charge of arrangements for Martin Van Winkle. Matt Rogers, age 52, of Corning, passed away on Wednesday. He was the USD 380 superintendent these past 4 years. Rosary service on Saturday at 10:30 with a funeral to follow Saturday at 11 at the St. Patrick Church in Corning. Lauer Funeral Home in charge of arrangements for Matt Rogers. Michael Mike L. Diedrich, age 74, of Greenleaf, passed away Tuesday. Massive Christian burial Tuesday, 10 a.m. at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church, Greenleaf, interment in the church cemetery. Visitation Monday at 6 with the rosary at 7 of the church. Christy Andrews Funeral Home of Waterville in charge of arrangements for Mike Diedrich. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch Menu today, fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, strawberries, and bananas. Tomorrow, lemon pepper fish, cornbread, scalloped potatoes, peas and pearl onions, and blushing pears. KNDY News Time 7:17.
Don't have time to stop by a bank to open an account? No problem. With United Bank and Trust, we make it easy by bringing our bank to you. Whether you're at home, at work, or anywhere you have access to a computer, simply go to ubankonline.com and click on the Open an Account icon. Save time by opening an account online with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for Northeast Kansas and Southeast Nebraska. Staying cloudy with some rain showers today as a large low-pressure system starts to make its way through the Midwest. Rain showers will continue overnight tonight and into Friday with a chance for some snow showers. But temperatures will remain fairly mild and continue to rise throughout the weekend. Winds will be fairly gusty out of the north between 15 and 20 miles per hour and gusting as high as 30. Today, we can expect to see highs in the upper 40s and lower 50s throughout Iowa, the mid 40s and mid 50s throughout Nebraska, the upper 30s and upper 60s throughout Kansas, and the lower 60s and mid 70s throughout Missouri. Overnight tonight, we can expect to see lows in the upper 20s and mid 30s throughout Iowa, the lower 20s and lower 30s throughout Nebraska, the mid 20s and mid 30s throughout Kansas, and the mid-30s and lower 50s throughout Missouri. I'm forecaster Kara Foster.
Average high temperature mid-March 52, record high on this date 83, the average low 28. Sunrise this morning 7:53, sunset this evening at 7:25. It's 48 degrees. That's a check of the morning news and weather for this St. Patrick's Day Thursday, the 17th of March. KNDY News Time is 7:19. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
It's no secret that Bite Me Barbecue has great food. And most of you know you can get it quick on the go. But did you know that Bite Me Barbecue also caters? That's right, you can get their amazing barbecue, including their new side, served at your next party, function, or get-together.
Game changer.
Call or stop in for details. Bite Me Barbecue in Marysville.
Freddie Freeman heads to the City of Angels and let March Madness begin. Hi, everyone. Mark Remillard reporting on sports. Freddie Freeman, now officially a Dodger. ESPN reports that the 2020 NL MVP is signing a giant six-year, $162 million deal with LA. Freeman, who helped the Braves win the World Series last year, entered free agency for the first time in his 12-year career. He now joins former MVP winners Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, and Clayton Kershaw. And let the dancing begin. The NCAA tournament brackets are set after Wright State defeated Bryant 93-82 in last night's first four round, while Notre Dame gets the last spot in the tournament by surviving Rutgers in a double overtime thriller.
Driving with the right hand toward the basket. He's under the hoop. His shot, blocked, offensive rebound. Atkinson scores. 1.4 seconds left. Baker does not get off a shot. Notre Dame is headed to San Diego.
The call on Westwood won. Notre Dame won 89-87. This is ABC Sports. After Monday night's two-month return of Draymond Green, Steph Curry left early in Wednesday's 110-88 loss against the Celtics after his leg got rolled on in the second quarter by Boston's Marcus Smart. After the game, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr says Curry received an MRI and spoke with Smart about that play.
A lot of respect for Marcus. He's a hell of a player, gamer, competitor. I coached him in the World Cup a few summers ago. We talked after the game. We're good, but I thought it was a dangerous play. And, you know, just let him know.
In women's college hoops, last night in the first four round, two more teams filled the last spots in the big dance. Howard defeated Incarnate Word 55-51, and Dayton defeated DePaul 88-57. In hockey, the Lightning smashed the Kraken 4-1, the Wild topped the Bruins 4-2, and the Devils fell to the Flames 6-3. Mark Remillard, ABC.
Catch Kansas Jayhawk basketball tonight on KNDY 95.5. Jayhawk basketball live on KNDY 95.5. Marysville American Legion Baseball Soup Day is Thursday, March 17th, 11 to 7 at the Marysville American Legion. Serving chili, chicken noodle, vegetable beef, ham and bean soup, sandwiches, and desserts. Noon delivery in town and carryouts available. Call day of 562-5584. Free will donation. All proceeds benefit the Marysville American Legion Baseball Program. Spring Soup Day, Thursday, March 17th, 11 to 7, at the Marysville American Legion.
This is an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. Growth Energy urging the Department of Energy to address a recent inaccurate and misleading study about ethanol that claims to be partially funded by the department. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score made the request in a letter to DEO Secretary Jennifer Granholm. Growth Energy says the study directly contradicts conclusions from the Department of Energy's own greenhouse gases, regulated emissions, and energy use and technology model, which has been tracking the impacts of corn ethanol's life cycle emissions since 1996. The study by University of Wisconsin-Madison researcher claims carbon emissions from using land to grow corn can negate or even reverse any climate advantages of corn ethanol related to gasoline. Score said failing to address the researchers' inconsistencies and departure from mainstream science could have a negative consequence in the nation's quest to decarbonize the transportation sector both on the ground and in the air. Well, the U.S. Grains Council has published the 2021-22 sorghum quality report, and for the third year in a row, U.S. sorghum was, on average, graded above necessary requirements for U.S. number one, according to the report. Protein content in sorghum up 8% year over year, 11.3%, up slightly from last year's crop. Paige Stevenson, a manager of global trade for the Grains Council, said in a market environment where protein demand is high, every percentage point counts in animal diets. The report, funded through USDA's Foreign Ag Service Agricultural Trade Promotion Program, provides international customers and others accurate, unbiased information about the 2021 sorghum crop. Now, to generate the report's finding, 97 samples were collected from 13 participating elevators in Kansas, Texas, Nebraska, as well as South Dakota, between September of last year and February of this year. That's an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Good morning, Beatrice, 77 Livestock on a Thursday on our special cow-calf bred cow sale here today at 11 o'clock. Well, folks, it's pretty simple. It's all about cow-calf families, and first in the door are 30 OCV Black Baldy first calf families. They do have 45-day-old AI'd Herbster Game Changer 371 calves that side. Great set of calves, great set of mamas. Calves are vaccinated and castrated, and they are the Thornburg families out of Pickrell. Up next is the Blue River Cattle, Brett Stutzman, 20, OCV, Red Angus, first calf families. They do have Becton Red Angus calves at side. They're 4 to 6 weeks old. Calves are all 7-weight, and they are Zectran vaccinated on Tuesday. Multimin 90, the cows are double scour guard, and the cows were last poured in February. Up next in the families is 60 Hilt OCV black first calf families. They have AI Acclaim black calves born February 10th through the 14th. On March 10th, the calves were castrated, Pyramid 5, Ultraback 7, Somnus, Cattle Active, and Multimin 90. The cows were repoured with ivermectin. Then into the ring comes 20 Blue River Cattle, Brett Stutzman, OCV, Red Angus families. They're going to be three-year-olds with Becton Red Angus calves. The calves are 3 weeks old, and you know the story. They are vaccinated, Zactran. The cows are scour guard booster, all poured, last poured in February. That'll be followed by the Hill 20 Black families, 5 years to short solid. They have Final Answer in Focus black calves at side. Excuse me, with a cold here this morning. The calves are 30 days old. The calves were worked the same. They are worked top to bottom. So that is the run of cow-calf families, guys. Black Baldies in first, Red Angus in second, Black Angus third, three-year-olds fourth, and the 20 black families of 5 years to short solid will be fifth. Now, we will have 4, 5, 6, 7, as we do have cows calving right now, that'll follow up if you need cow-calf families. So be here for the families at 11 o'clock. Then we switch to the bred cows. Steve Weiss out of Claytonia, 40 black and red bred cows. They have been mouthed 3 to 8 year olds. They're bred to Snoke Red Angus or Black Balancer. They are certainly due 8 months long, guys. They are due May 1st out of Claytonia. Followed by the Bruna cattle out of Hanover. There is 26 black and black baldy bred cows. They're 4 to 6 year olds. They're bred to Rippy Black Gelvies. They are ultrasounded in March, and they certainly are pregnant. They are 4 months along. They are due September for 60 days. A nice, nice set of cows. Fall fresheners, guys, come up and check them out. Then we have 2 Cooker sets out of Verdon, Nebraska. They are 11 black bred cows, 5 years to short solid. They're bred back Black Balancer. They are due in April. The other set is 10 black bred cows, short solid to broken. They're bred Black Balancer. They're 7 to 8 months. Scott Mueller out of Syracuse has got 8 black bred cows, 4 years to broken. They're bred black. They're 7 to 9 months. Then we have an additional 20 bred cows. So it all starts here at 11 o'clock here this morning at Beatra 77 Livestock. And the door at 11 o'clock, Black Baldy. First calf families with the Herbster AI Game Changer 371 calves. We do have a great set of families. If you're in need, folks, be in Beatrice, 11 a.m. here this morning. Thanks for the business. Have a great day. We certainly got a nice feeder cattle run for Monday on the cattle sale. So be certain to be here on Monday for feeder cattle. And again, give us a call, 223-3571. Well, as it goes, you know, you certainly can stay online for all the markets, the consignments, the auctioneer's page, or turn on the video at Beatra77.net.
7:30 from KNDY. It's 48 degrees, cloudy, overcast. A little cooler today, seasonal highs mid-50s with perhaps some precipitation moving through.
Market information from the Mid-America Ag Network. Andy Hoosier starting off a Thursday today. Markets opening up here in just a little bit on a St. Patrick's Day pre-Friday celebration, as it was kind of mixed on the board at the end of trading yesterday. We saw a lot of red on the board for the grain market, kind of mixed in the livestock. Today, being St. Paddy's Day, may have to see a little bit of green on the board. We'll see how that pans out when the markets open up in just a little bit. In the corn market, they started off pretty slow but went downward as the day went along, wrapping up with May corn down by 28 cents lower. At 7:30, even a bushel. The July corn was down by 26 and a quarter, sitting at 6 at 97 even. Kansas City wheat really took the biggest hit of the day, with May KC wheat down 85 cents at 10 at 72 and a half. The Chicago wheat was also down by 85 cents in their continued correction at 10 at 69 and a quarter. Over in the bean market yesterday, a lot of red here as well. They started off positive, but went negative as the day went along, with May soybeans wrapping up 9.5 cents lower yesterday at 16.49 and a quarter. The meal for May was down $6 even at 4.78, and the soybean oil for May had a rough day, down 13 cents at 73.55. Cotton market saw a little bit of green on the board, with May cotton up by $1.20 yesterday at 119.80. Oats as well had a little bit of a positive day, with May up by 3.25, sitting at 6.64 and 3 quarters. July was up by 10 and 3 quarter cents at 6.20 and 3 quarters. Over in the livestock, it was kind of mixed. They started off mostly higher yesterday and saw some live cattle dip into the red as the day went along, with April live cattle down $1.50 at 139.35. The feeder cattle for March was in the green by 90 cents at 157 and a quarter. April feeder cattle also up by 2 pennies, kind of slow growth there, sitting at 162.62. Lean hogs were mixed on the board yesterday, with April lean hogs down 2 pennies at 102.37. The May lean hogs were in the green by 35 cents at 111 even. It was kind of mixed throughout some of the later futures as well as the day went along. We'll see what's in store for us today for a Thursday. Market information, Mid-America Ag Network.
We celebrate Irish culture with a look at these unique Irish surnames and the meanings behind them. More in a moment from the Old Farmer's Almanac.
If you're a farmer or a rancher, chances are you've thought about joining Kansas Farm Bureau. So what's stopping you? Your membership means you have a seat at the table when it comes to the issues that affect your farm. Things like trade, taxes, water, and regulations. The state's largest farm advocacy organization brings your message to policy decision makers at the county, state, and national level. The Voice of Agriculture becomes your voice and fights for Kansas farmers and ranchers. And a Kansas Farm Bureau membership includes other benefits. For about $50 a year, you'll receive discounts on equipment and supplies, cell phone plans, financial and legal support, home and office supplies, and more. You'll also receive Kansas Living, a quarterly lifestyle magazine featuring real stories of farmers and producers around the state, plus great recipes, crafts, and things to see and do in Kansas. Join us today. Visit kfb.org/farmer-rancher to learn more.
With more practical tips and useful advice, this is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Thursday, March 17th, the 76th day of the year. Actors Kurt Russell, Gary Sinise, and Rob Lowe all share a birthday, and Irish heritage is celebrated around the world on this St. Patrick's Day. Tracing your Irish heritage can be a muddled affair, as most Irish surnames have been anglicized from their original Gaelic, but common prefixes may provide some clues. Mac is generally considered to mean son of, as in MacDonald or MacArthur. O apostrophe, as in O'Brien or O'Neill, originally meant grandson or descendant of. And Fitz is often translated as servant of, such as Fitzsimmons or Fitzgerald. Today may hold extra meaning for you then, if you happen to be a Fitzpatrick. There is your Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. Learn more online anytime at almanac.com.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports. The top-seeded Jayhawks begin their journey in the NCAA tournament Thursday night against Texas Southern. KU enters March Madness on a high note, coming off the Big 12 regular season and tournament championships. The Jayhawks tip off March Madness in the same city they suffered their last loss, Fort Worth, Texas. KU coach Bill Self said the loss to TCU did have a silver lining, as it somewhat humbled the Jayhawks. It's a late tip-off tonight for the Jayhawks. Tip set for 8:57 p.m. At the NJCAA tournament in Hutchinson, Chipola advanced in the tournament with a win over Hutchinson Community College. The final score was 85-62. Hutchinson was led by Angelo Stewart with 16 points, Kobe Randall had 15, and Cecil Lee with 11. Hutchinson ends its season at 26-9. Chipola advances to play Harkham today. I'm Trace Tall, Kansas Mid-America Network Sports.
The road to a title starts now.
The Big 12 tourney title is coming home to Lawrence for the 12th time in 25 years. Tournament champions are your Jayhawks.
68 teams, one dream, a chance to be called national champions. Join us this Thursday. It's the top-seeded Kansas Jayhawks versus the Texas Southern Tigers. Pre-game begins at 7:30 on your home for Kansas Jayhawk basketball, the Jayhawk Sports Network from Learfield.
Catch Kansas Jayhawk basketball tonight on KNDY 95.5. Jayhawk basketball live on KNDY 95.5.
Me over you, they hooking me up, yeah, buying me drinks with a thousand girls. There's just one thing, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything. No, I can't close my eyes without you in my